this here. But Judge O'Connor is doing a great job over there. She put on the robe and she's gone to work. Somebody was asking the other day the difference between the Supreme Court and the Ku Klux Klan, and the difference was the Supreme Court puts on black robes and scares the hell out of white folks, and the Klan... it ain't been a good year for atheists out of the court now. They're kicking them around. When we had all the dial-a-prayer numbers for Protestants and Catholics and Baptists, they finally got one for atheists. When you call the number, no one answers. Yeah, Barry Goldwater is the real communicator of the recent history of the Republican Party, who can forget 64. I remember his concession speech. It was a masterpiece, and he gets in the Hall of Fame, too. Trailing Lyndon Johnson, if you believe this, by 17 million votes. Goldwater said, I just want to say one thing. The people have spoken, the bastards. Special key, Barry, that they had on the typewriters covering him in that campaign. You punched it and it said, Senator Goldwater's aides later explained what the senator really meant. But I've been afraid, he's been a supporter of the Air Force, that he would do for our power what General Custer did for the cavalry. But my friends, the Democratic Party, you've ridiculed us tonight, but we will rise again. In this room, as you've seen, we have presidential candidates in great profusion, that is. They're unavoidable for comment. I would identify them, but we don't have that much time. But I see rampant this disease called presidentialitis. It gets in the bloodstream, and you can't get it out except with one thing, and that's embalming fluid. So we're not dead. We will come back. We've got Bob Strauss and other assets. Strauss has been taking money from the rich and votes for the poor for 20 years, convincing each that he's saving them from the other. And by the way, what happened to Jimmy Carter? You know, Carter, the little guy, the guy who plays with the peanut warehouse. What happened to him? Hell, I've been here so long, I remember when Amy Carter did not have the best nuclear program in town, strategic arms program in town. But Jimmy's all right, and he'll be back, and we're waiting for him to come to town next week. So let's hang in just a while. All right, now the grand old party. The grand old party. It doesn't offer us guns and butter or guns and butter like some administration in the past. They offer the American people guns, cheese, and teenage chastity. Like one of my friends said, it sounded kind of like a war on puberty. I think it's unfair to say that our president is not good to poor people and he's against them. Reaganomics, if you really understand it, what it says is that both the rich and the poor are entitled to the same amount of ice, but the poor get theirs in the winter. That's the difference. I wanted to take a wax at the cabinet, a couple of them here. I remember Will Rogers goes to the White House, Mr. President, and says, Calvin Coolidge says, tell us the latest jokes, Will. He said, I don't have to, Mr. President, you have appointed them. And I want to thank the people in Colorado for sending us Ann Gorsuch and Jim Watt down here. They have done for the environment what Bonnie and Clyde did to banks. And I think the administration has done for the home builders of America what Klaus von Bülow has done for the National Diabetes Foundation. I've got to give General Haig some credit. His flacks over there say, and I think they're probably right, that we've got the best relations with our major allies and friends than we've had in 10 years. with the exception of Britain, Canada, France, Italy, Mexico, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Kuwaiti, and all of the rest. General Haig believes that wars should not be fought because they tend to increase the tensions between the participants. Bob Dole's down there, he had a great one about supply-side economics. He said the good news is that a bus loaded with supply-side economists has gone over the cliff, and the bad news is that there were three empty seats. Sooner or later, in the first 8 years of the Reagan administration, I fully predict that they'll find a solution for the MX missile. It's important that the Soviets not know how we're basing it, Admiral Dobrynin, or where it's going to be. And so the Udall plan is to get the MX missile and put it in a suitcase and go down to the airport and check it on Piedmont Airlines to the Louisville night flight. You will never see it again. And and neither will the Soviets, for that matter. The administration is getting ready to change plans. It was whispered up on the Hill this week. They're going to change and switch and make some speeches that deficits really do count and they do matter. And Don Reagan down here is going to have a real job explaining this one in the light of his other speeches. But I recommend, as Secretary Reagan, the prayer of one of the great spiritual leaders. It was either St. Francis of Assisi, Brigham Young, or maybe Lester Kinsolving. Which says, "Oh Lord, teach us to utter words that are gentle and tender, because tomorrow we may have to eat them." The administration tells us that not only do we have a free lunch, we will get a tax credit for eating it. So, my friends, I wonder about the rhetoric of the senior staff meetings at the State Department. I feel sorry for Al Haig, but at least they've elevated the kind of language that's being used. You remember one of the previous administrations, they talked about, I am not a crook. Can you imagine somebody coming forward and saying, "I am not a duplicitous bastard"? I had hoped that Secretary Weinberger would be here tonight. He's apparently traveling again. God help the country until he gets back. But somebody said to General Haig the other day, said, "I think, you know, Caspar Weinberger's his own worst enemy." And Haig said, "The hell he is, not as long as I'm alive." Secretary Haig's had a bad time. It's not his fault. I heard he was despondent about the leaks from the senior staff meeting and called the suicide hotline prevention number, and they put him on hold. If you see a mushroom cloud over the Pentagon, it's probably Haig shooting a warning nuclear shot at the Pentagon to put him on edge out there. Well, I do have one positive suggestion for the administration. Some time ago, I suggested that we turn the fight on inflation over to the Post Office Department. They might not end it, but they'll damn well slow it down. Well, they have George Bush here working on a regulatory simplification program, and I suggest that we combine, George, you look at this, combine the CIA and the Post Office. If they're going to read our mail, they sure as hell ought to get it delivered on time. That's the very least they can do. Well, Secretary Watt, I got to be careful. He endorsed me today on television. It's an unfair campaign practice. If he keeps this up, he said, "If you want a liberal environmentalist nut and wacko who's honest and fun and speaks very well, vote for Udall." That was sort of the endorsement he gave him. But I agree with him on one thing. I see so many moguls of the newspaper business around here that publish lousy papers all over our country and won't report the good, positive things about this administration. And he said, Watt said, that it's wrong to cut down good trees to print bad newspapers. And I certainly agree with him tonight. I think Spiro Agnew is right. You are a bunch of negative, nattering nabobs of negativism. So I wanted to close tonight with one profound and guiding thought. It was a quotation from either Thomas Jefferson, Jack Germond, or Roger Jeppesen of Iowa. But I appear to have misplaced that 3x5 card, so let me quote from one of the heroes of Watergate. You remember in that earlier administration we had, everyone was called upon to repent, and Charles Colson asked what he thought of repenting and telling the country we were sorry. And Charles Colson said in those immortal words, "Contrition is bull feathers." I've cleaned it up a bit. So Barry was coming on in a minute, and I dread this. He'll whack me, and he'll tell you about my grandfather who had three wives simultaneously and how his grandfather got him out of jail in Prescott. But I remember the great poet laureate of Tombstone, Arizona, Henry Wadsworth Gonzalez, who said, "Barry, the election now is over. Let all this bitterness pass. I will hug your elephant, and you can kiss my donkey." So I'm through, but let me switch gears and just say one thing. My father spent most of his life in public service, and he didn't call it politics. He called it public service. We're the oldest democracy in the world, more than 200 years. And I think we're the oldest democracy because of a civilized kind of politics that we have in Arizona, and I think in most places, where you can be friends with your adversaries, where the Goldwaters and the Udalls can kick each other around and work together for the common good, and where Tip O'Neill can play golf with Jerry Ford and some of the guys. And I think there's something good about our country, the civilized kind of politics and the civilized kind of exchange that we can have. And here tonight, the powerful people in America, the press, the politicians, and all the rest of us, and I think it says a lot of good things about our country. And so I close with that great patriot who made a speech in Dixon, Illinois, or Mississippi, or somewhere, and he said to the people in the town square, "Ladies and gentlemen, them's my views, and if you don't like them, well, then I'll change them." Thank you very much.
President.
Mr. Dan Thomason, a member of the Executive Committee of the Gridiron Club and the producer of the Republican skit.
Mr. President, will the following persons please rise and remain standing for a moment? Secretary of State Alexander Hay. Attorney General of the United States, William French Smith. The Secretary of the Interior, James Watt. Counselor to the President, Edwin Meese. Thank you, gentlemen. You may be seated. Mr. President, in the days just after Ronald Reagan and his Republicans brought unification unified government to these foggy bottoms. A mighty struggle took place to find a man who could lead them in their search for the holy grail of federalism, a balanced budget. We find them now gathered outside the walls of their Camelot, seeking one who can wrest from its place in the stone the ancient sword of leadership. The opposing forces are led, on the one hand, by Merlin the Moderate, and on the right, by Modred the Dark Knight, known more familiarly to his followers as Mo Dead than Red. Let us eavesdrop, Mr. President.
Ah, there you are, Mo Dead. I dare say none of your new right crowd can dislodge the sword.
Forsooth, sucker. Let's just see who you've got in that sleight of hand band.
This is a High Lord Commissioner of Ticker Tape, Sir Donald Regan. Everyone knows Regan is bullish.
Trickle down, rich people, trickle down. What the rich don't keep will sort of trickle down. Hear the truly rich make this generous pitch. Make the poor folks itch by letting nickels trickle down. Keep your eye, big business, on supply. Don't you dig, big business, that's our alibi. Keep our pedigree, future guaranteed. Teach the poor folks greed by kindly sharing our supply. Rob, we can hire new butlers at the club. Trickle down, Palm Springers, trickle down. Carry on, some singers, for old trickle down. While the press say shucks and the Congress ducks, we keep all the bucks and let the nickels trickle down. Trickle down, Palm Springers, trickle down. Carry on, some singers, for old trickle down. While the press say shucks and the Congress ducks, we keep all the bucks and let the nickels trickle down.
Trickle's the word, all right. But in this court, it's trickle up, not down.
Well, here's a fellow who's cool.
I don't believe it. Sir David Stockman and his horse from Troy. About the only thing he subscribes to is the Atlantic Monthly. But we've got his nemesis.
Why, it's Kemp. Jack Kemp.
But why in the world is he wearing a football helmet? He must have played without one.
It ain't necessarily so. It ain't necessarily so. I tell you the facts is when they cut those taxes, it ain't necessarily so. Little David was bad and oh my. Little David was bad and oh my. No real supply cider would say that to Grider. Little David so bad I could cry. Voodoo! Voodoo! It ain't necessary.
Some real dragon slayers.
Well, those last fellas look like something out of an old movie with King Ron. Maybe Brother Rat. But who is this?
Sir Richard Allen. National Security Advisor to the Emperor of Japan. And we have the President's own personal labor advisor, Sir Raymond Donovan. And here's one for you, Merlin, one spook to another, Sir William Casey. There they are, Sirs Allen, Donovan, and Casey. Larry, Moe, and Curly?
Hey, misbehaving, it's all a lie. Just senseless raving, caught up by the FBI. A case of griping, a way of sniping at you.
Fancy, no quid pro quo. 'Twas done for Nancy, the custom in Tokyo. Came in my inbox, and from my outbox went me.
The good neighbor, I helped labor, but I ain't no mafioso.
Street, the golden cue, do unto others before they can do to you. Ain't misbehaving, we're not unfit to serve you. I learned in Wall Street, the golden cue, do unto others before they can do to you. Ain't misbehaving, we're not.
Imperious Honor, Warren Berger. He has woman trouble.
Who hasn't?
Gone are the days of nine men good and true. Now there's a gender difference in our crew. Such stunning change tries the patience of a Job. There's now a touch of Venus neath that old black robe. Rue the day when the court became co-ed. Precedence dies and it fills my heart with dread. This is too much for the patience of a Job. There's now a touch of Venus neath that old black robe.
Thank you, fellas. I'm one of the girls who's one of the boys, sharing one man, one vote, a smart dame enjoys. Oh, I'm the first female, no tie and no shirt. I majored in law, but I still wear a skirt. I'm one of the gals who's one of the guys. Now one teaching eight, so the guys will get wise. Don't mix rings and bracelets with sharp cutter sales. I'm one of the jacks, although I'm one of the Jills. I'm only one doe with eight legal stags. I'm separate but equal in my courtly rags. Forget the max factor you find on my face. On this nine-judge team, I can play any bass. Someday I'll be chief. I'm just the right sort. The bench's first feminine boss of the court. In spite of my looks, my finesse, and my poise, I'm one of the gals who's become one of the boys.
I don't see why he's complaining.
Who have you conjured up now?
This is the chief enforcer, Sir William of French and Smith, of course.
School days, school days, tax exemption rule days, Anglos and Saxons and Baptists. Is two, maybe a black kid, just one, not two. If private schools discriminate, there is no law to integrate. When the heat starts to rise, we'll obfuscate and just pass the buck to the hill. School days, time to change the rule days. No more Chicanos or Chinese folks. Let's tell some Irish or Polish jokes. We will just let them segregate. We'll act surprised, we won't debate. And then if the courts say, integrate. Why, we'll take the credit, of course. We will just let them segregate. We'll act surprised, we won't debate. And then if the courts say integrate, why?
practitioner of flora and fauna, Sir James the Watt.
But who is that with him?
He's co-opted Smokey the Bear. It's the same Smokey. He still likes environmentalists, but only for breakfast.
Exxon and Texaco, Amoco, Mobil, some are just national, some of them global. Ah, how the smell of petroleum clings. These are a few of my favorite things. Bulldozers, strip mines, and corporate ranching. Parties for fat cats at Robert Lee's mansion. Tossing the muck in those crystal clear springs. These are a few of my favorite things. Hate Isaac Walton, love power transmission. Let's trade Sierra for nuclear fission. Clear-cutting forests, how my heart sings. These are a few of my favorite things. Let the lefties scream and holler. I'm not really mad. I simply remember my favorite things, and then I don't feel so bad.
Exxon and Texaco, Amoco, Mobil, some are just national, some of them global. Ah, the smell of petroleum clings. These are a few of my favorite things. Let the lefties scream and holler. I'm not really mad. I simply remember my favorite things,
and then I don't feel so bad.
Ah, but where is Sir James Brady? That boy has a knack for survival. Maybe he can give us the secret of the stone.
You're talking about Sir James Baker. Wait a minute, James Baker? We object to that shabby Southwestern sidewinder. Tell him why, Friar Jerry Falwell.
Got its hustlers, some dogs got their fleas. Reagan stuck with Slim Jim Baker, he's a George Bush refugee. Yeah, he may talk slow, but he's slippery. He's a left-wing Trojan horse. So when his folks on the right get together at night, you know it hurts to call Slim Jim boss. Yeah, here's why we hate to call him boss.
You don't tug on Superman's feet. You don't steal the wind. You don't pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger, and you don't mess around with Jim.
Ba-da-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Well, out of Orange, South Texas, come this Princeton dude. He's slicker than a liberal snake. Bamboozled Jerry Ford, switched to Bush and got bored. Now Reagan's a paying this fake. Yeah, we right-wingers gotta save the country. Jim Baker stabbing us in the back. Sidetracking all our guys, hiring Bushmen on the sly. We may never get school prayer back. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
We got a tug on Superman's cape. We have a spin in the wind. We're going to pull the mask off the old Lone Ranger, and we're going to mess around with Jim.
Ba-da-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Well, a hush fell over the White House when the new right came a-calling on the man. We said, Ron, you got a mess unless you let us do our best. What's the great communicator's plan?
When he stood tall, when he
Christian attitude. But maybe we ought to ask King Ron.
He's sleeping.
Well, what about the court jester, Ed Meese? Ed Meese, what we gonna do if we're suddenly faced with aggression?
We don't wake Ronnie until morning. Letting him sleep late ain't no crime. We wouldn't rib ya. We're watching Libya. We'll get him to the war on time. We'll give the shaft to old Gaddafi. Veto a state for Palestine. We aren't bending on defense spending. We'll get him to the war on time. A balanced budget by 84. We had to fudge it, blame El Salvador. You put all your faith in Sleeping Beauty. We'll tell the clock just when to chime. Please don't get antsy, just trust Ed and Nancy. They mine the country store, so let the critics roar. We'll get our Ronnie to the war on time.
Happy that they got 'em. Won't notice they were ragged at the bottom. Second-hand dress, goodbye you old worn-out mess. I never wear a frock more than just once. Calvin Klein, Adolfo, Ralph Lauren, and Bill Blass. Ronald Reagan's mama's going strictly first class. Rodeo Drive, I miss you, Rodeo Drive, in frumpy Washington. Secondhand rings, donate those old used up things. Designers deduct them, we're living like kings. So what if Ronnie's cutting back on welfare? I'll still wear a tiara in my coiffed hair. Secondhand frock, press critics are such a crock. Why don't they just hush up and go away? Calvin Klein, Adolfo, Ralph Lauren, and Bill Blass. Ronald Reagan's mama's going strictly first class. Rodeo Drive, I'll be back, Rodeo Drive, in 1985.
Rodeo Drive, I'll be back, Rodeo Drive, in 1985. I have a few corrections, please. I'm wearing second-hand clothes. Second-hand clothes. They're quite the style in spring fashion shows. Even my true trench coat with fur collar Ronnie bought for 10 cents on the dollar. Second-hand gowns and old hand-me-downs. The china is the only thing that's new. Even though they told me I'm no longer queen, did Ronnie have to buy me that new sewing machine? Second-hand clothes, I'm wearing second-hand clothes. I sure hope Ed Meese sews. Shows. Even my true trench coat with fur collar Ronnie bought for 10 cents on the dollar. Second-hand gowns and old hand-me-downs. The china is the only thing that's new. Even though they told me that I'm no longer queen, did Ronnie have to buy me that new sewing machine? Ronnie, second-hand clothes, I'm wearing second-hand clothes. I sure hope Ed Meese sews.
Around. Our number one candidate for leader, a man who can take charge in any crisis, and one time tried, Sir Alexander the Jet Hayes.
When you're Al Haig and you don't get your way, you're a real hard-boiled egg only half of the day. Even with grace under pressure,
Ronald with a capital A. Ronald Reagan's my pal, tells me so every day. When you're Al Haig, you're just Al Haig. When you're Al Haig, you're the swinginest thing. Little boy, you're a man. Little man, you're a king. When you're Al Haig, you're a weird talking cat, and you don't caveat to no communist rat. If Castro don't quit, I'll knock him on his keister. I'll give him a hit, cause every Sandinista's a Fidelista. Here comes Al Haig like a bat out of hell. Cuba gets in my way, Cuba don't feel so well. Here comes Al Haig, commie simp, step aside. Better go underground, better run, better hide. I'm drawing a line, so keep your noses hidden. I'm hanging a sign, El Salvador's forbidden, and I ain't kidding. Here comes Al Haig, yeah, and I'm gonna get every last Soviet in the whole commie world, in the whole ever commie living world.
Must be kidding. Why, he can't even handle Sir Weinberger of Pentagon. You know, his advice on El Salvador was to send in a division of Marines disguised as burros. Ah, but now, from the depths of antiquity, I call forth a champion of yore, truly a man for all seasons, in whose heart dwells the true right, Sir Barry of Arizona!
Oh,
Now, ladies and gentlemen, another beloved friend who, for by some strange coincidence, also comes from Arizona, Senator Barry Goldwater, the real Mr. Republican.
Using those 10 by 12 cards anymore.
We're cutting down on everything.
Well, you have to. Mr. President, Mr. Vice President, Mrs. Reagan and Mrs. Bush, and President of the Alfalfa Club, no, let's see, other club. Ben, it's a real pleasure to be here with you tonight. Although I don't mind speaking after that one-eyed Mormon from Arizona. But I'll be damned if I know how I can follow this beautiful girl over here, because I don't have any old secondhand clothes. I'm in that business. If you can't sell them, you wear them. But Ben, I appreciate the opportunity to address this gridiron gathering off the record about the current state of the Reagan administration and the Republican Party. I suppose this is off the record.
It is.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I know I can trust the members of the press to keep it that way. The trouble is, I see three members of Al Haig's staff. I really shouldn't needle our Secretary of State that way. After all, he's the only member of the Reagan administration to come up with a surefire system for plugging leaks in his department. It's very simple. Al doesn't allow any more note-taking at staff meetings. He just invites Bob Woodward to sit in and cuts out the middle man. But to be honest, the only thing I didn't like about that particular leak was where they quoted the Secretary of State calling the British Foreign Minister a duplicitous bastard. Typical State Department pussyfooting. I'll never understand why those cookie pushers over at Foggy Bottom don't stop beating around the bush and just say what they mean. But I want to tell the press that the president is upset by the treatment he's been getting at the hands of you folks. He said, and I quote, "The press is doing to me what Sing Sing, the panda, isn't doing to Ling Ling." Secretary has to cope with. For example, rumors keep cropping up that he and Cap Weinberger have their differences. And I want to tell you that that's absolutely ridiculous. And Al has authorized me to put those rumors to rest right now. So here it is for the record. Our Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense are in perfect harmony. They have no policy differences, whatever. Repeat, none whatever. No policy, neither. But we do live in difficult times. There's dislike of one's fellow man, dissension, violence, the threat of riots. We are on the threshold of a confrontation of awful magnitude between people of opposing philosophies who dislike each other. And that's just among the White House staff. Another problem is that the support on Wall Street for the president's budget proposal may be eroding. At one brokerage house, Merrill still supports the White House. Lynch is neutral. And the bull left a deposit on the South Lawn. Took me all afternoon to clean this damn thing up. But really, really, it's a pleasure to share this gridiron platform with my fellow Arizonan, Mo Udall. Just the other day, Mo announced that he's running for re-election. God almighty. You should see his new district. It's shaped like Phyllis Diller's profile before she had a facelift. Now, Mo's district runs from the Mexican border to Phoenix. As a matter of fact, it ends only a stone's throw from where I live. I know, I've been practicing. Still, Mo and I have a lot in common. We not only come from the same state, but we share the same given name, Morris. We both ran for president. We both lost. I'll say this, though, Mo, the man you lost to did more to get even with Sherman than anybody that's come out of Georgia. We both have close relatives who serve or have served in the House. We're both very strong conservationists, and Jim Watt will tell you that. But the difference between Mo and me is that he belongs to the political party that's given the country big budget deficits. While I belong to the party that doesn't believe in big budget deficits. Now, don't misunderstand. We have them. We just don't believe in them. Now, Mr. President, I'm glad you're here. If I had one piece of advice to give you, it would be to mellow a bit. Look at me. Remember that time when I said the country would be better off if we sawed off the entire eastern seaboard and let it float out in the Atlantic? Well, I don't believe that anymore. Not the entire eastern seaboard. I'll settle for Maine, Massachusetts, New York, and New Jersey. And that's what I mean, Mr. President. I have mellowed. But let's face it. I know the real reason you invited me to speak here tonight. It's because after all these years, I've become the possessor of the role of the party elder statesman. Now, you know what an elder statesman is in the Senate. He's a member who isn't running for president. But honestly, I've had my ride on that merry-go-round, and just think of it. 18 years have gone by, and conservatives and liberals are still arguing over my campaign. The conservatives say I was ahead of the time. The liberals say I was behind the times. Frankly, I don't know who's right, and I really don't care. But I remember those election returns, and what I do know is that I was sure as hell wasn't on schedule. Thank you.